Welcome to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, intended to equip and encourage business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. Taught by active business owner, best-selling author, and teacher, Sean Castrina.
All right, this is Sean Castrina with the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast. So excited that you continue to listen. I have an incredible guest, a guest that I personally own three of his books. I have Craig Ballantyne with me. He's the author of The Perfect Day, The Perfect Week, and Unstoppable. Craig, it's great to have you on the podcast.
This is going to be a lot of fun, Sean. Thank you.
No, I mean, this is funny because there's only a few people that I own multiple books of. I had Michael Gerber on all the
books.
I had Robert Greene, you know, the legend, 48 Laws and Mastery, and I've had them on the show. But it's great to have you on the show because, I mean, when it comes to time management, managing your week and things of that nature, you pretty much have this area well studied, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's something I live. It really is.
Just tell me first, you know, obviously we have a huge entrepreneurial audience. We're number one in a new country about every 10 days. And so we have entrepreneurs listening. Why are you so passionate about managing your day and your week? I want to guess what that is, but I'd rather have you kind of lead us down how important that is and why you're so passionate about it.
Yeah, I think like everybody that's listening here, I'm just like you. I mean, I want to do everything and then 10 more things. And, you know, part of that is saying no to those things so you can do great things. But even when you want to do great things, we all want more time for it. And really, we want time ownership, not time management. We want to own our time. We want to be as productive as possible. And then we want to go home to our families or, you know, leave the home office and go into the kitchen or wherever it is that our family is. And we want to be present with them. And I just think that it's so powerful when we can separate work and home life and be fully present in both and be super successful and avoid the stress and anxiety that comes from chasing our tails. And so Sean, I had an incident when I was about 30 years old where I had severe anxiety from being overwhelmed as an entrepreneur. I was actually the most successful in my entire entrepreneurial career. And that's when I had the anxiety hit me. I was able to overcome it through a whole bunch of strategies that I talk about in all my books. And today, now I'm more successful, but I'm way less stressful.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's funny when you talk about stress and managing it, because I've told my team recently that I can't continue to solve your problems. Like I told my partners, like when there's a fire, I'm the one dragging you out. And this is just kind of funny because it's a 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, but we can talk as long as we want. We get on something that's really good. But I said, now with my contracts, I own a really big home remodeling company, 8 different divisions, and I own a digital marketing company that does incredible. But I had started getting very stressful clients in the remodeling end, because they were like expecting us to do magic every time. And I sent with our contracts 2 weeks ago, and I copied all my partners on this. I said, there is no perfect. I've stopped promising perfect. I said, our A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau, and I listed all the awards we've won, will tell you that we're really good and we would like to make you happy, but perfect doesn't exist anymore. And I listed all the things that could go wrong on their jobs. So now that you know this, if you'd like to continue to do business with us, great. But if you're the person who needs perfect and you know who you are, please contact our office. We will have your deposit returned within 48 hours.
That's a great approach. And it kind of reminds me of an approach that Tim Ferriss talked about in the 4-Hour Work Week, which was giving team members like kind of like a budget on the decision-making that they could do. And I think in the book, he said, up to $400 decisions, don't ask me. You know, this is, you know, I trust your judgment. You're a smart person. I hired you for a reason. You'll make the right decision. And we implemented that in my business too, because, you know, you can't micromanage every home remodeling that you do. And having your partners there and your team members to make those decisions is empowering to them. And again, you had good judgment hiring them because they have good judgment themselves.
Just because you can be so caught up in everything. So what do you find specifically talking to entrepreneurs? Where do you think they, you know, screw it up, try to do too much, try to be involved in so much, but I'd rather hear your wording and what you see and kind of the solutions to that.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think that as entrepreneurs, we're also part martyrs. You know, a lot of us come from a blue collar background. A lot of us come with a chip on our shoulder. We're trying to prove somebody wrong. and we put it all in our back and we suffer in silence and we have a very difficult time, maybe because of our upbringing or maybe just a difficult time, you know, believing anybody can do it even half as good as us, that we insist on doing it all ourselves when we get started. And even when we get to the $5 or $10 million revenue mark, I see too many entrepreneurs still in the business, doing the work in the business, as Michael Gerber says, right? And we got to get out of the business to work on the business. But it's a trust issue. It's no one can do it as good as me. And how dare I ask somebody else to do these things when I'm capable of doing it? You know, I grew up on a farm, and you know, when I explain some things to my mother that, you know, I don't do that anymore, whether it's around the house or whether it is in my business, you know, I definitely, every time I kind of inside cringe just a little bit, because I know she's thinking, well, why can't you do it? And so it's just a matter of upbringing. So a lot of us have a hard time unshackling ourselves from the day to day. But when we can help an entrepreneur do that, then they can spend their time on big thinking, strategy, and training up those great people that we hire.
And it's true, because I have five partners, and one of my key partners said that, you know, when I shared this with him, and he goes, Sean, we only want you to make a couple decisions a week. And he goes, and we know that we're letting you, in other words, we know where your strike zone is. We know where you go to the next level, and you shouldn't be caught down in the, because we were just in like 4 months of just absolute, I've been doing this for a long time, but I never had like the last 6 months where like, I've never was just, you know, so exhausted mentally. And you do that, you kind of get caught up into things, because I joke, I would delegate a bowel movement if I thought somebody'd wipe up behind me. Well, there's not a lazier human being. The good Lord gifted me to do maybe three things really well. Everything else I stink at. But the few things I'm pretty decent.
Well, I think you make a great point there in that joke, in a humorous way, and you're very true. And I am selectively lazy. I will, absolutely. You know, when I first started as an entrepreneur, I was working 12 to 14 hours a day so that I didn't have to work 40 hours a week for somebody else, because I didn't want to be told what to do and do things that I didn't want to do. I would much rather have done all the things for myself. And so then as you grow, you have to go, I don't want to do that. And the cool thing is, you don't have to do that, because in this day and age, from all the contract services and all the, you know, the gig economy and the outsourcing all across the world, is you can get somebody else to do that for a fraction of the price that you probably think, and you shouldn't be doing it. Because one lesson that I like to give to all entrepreneurs is, you weren't put here on this earth to do the technician part of your business. You were not put here to do that. And you were put here on this earth to do higher level things. Now, I'm not demeaning the work, whether it's the custodial work or whether it is, you know, the selling or whatever it is. I'm not demeaning that work. Other people were put here on this earth because they are gifted at that and they love doing it. But you were gifted with other things, and you have to do the things that you were best gifted with, as you have found out, Sean. And that's why you're having this success.
It's funny, because I remember when I first got married, I mowed our grass one time, brand new lawnmower, mowed it. And somebody put up a little index card in this housing development where we lived and offering to mow grasses. I interviewed this individual, gave him my lawnmower, invested in it. Take this lawnmower. I went out to our yard. I said, when my grass is this tall, you have permission to mow it. I wrote him a check for like a year. And I've never mowed my grass in 30 years since then. I don't even own a lawnmower.
Right. Exactly. And Elon is not, you know, putting the steering wheels in the Tesla. And that's why he's able to do more important things. And we need to remember that. I use this phrase, Sean. Be the Oprah of your business. What would Oprah do if she was running your business? Because Oprah, I mean, there is very few people who could be busier than Oprah, with all the people that want 1 minute of her time, right? But she says no to the small things so that she can do an amazing job at much fewer things, so she can do great works. And so you need to be the Oprah of your business. If Oprah was running your business, you know, would she be running to the FedEx store? Would she be doing this? Would she be editing her own videos? Would she, you know, she would not be doing those things. because she knows that her time is so valuable. And so you need to look at yourself as pretty valuable too.
Yeah, you said it so well. Like Steve Jobs says, I say no, and Bill, I say no to 99% of things.
Right.
So I know, so I can say yes to the one thing that has the greatest, you know, impact. And I just, actually, it's funny because I just read your Perfect Week like 2 weeks ago, even before I knew you were going to be on the show. And then on Instagram, I'm always like, well, I just read this guy's book. Let me reach out. And that's typically how I get, because I don't let my team do, I mean, I reach out and go, listen, I have actually read The Perfect Week, The Perfect Day, and Unstoppable. You know, we have these things. But what, I, you know, when you're coaching clients, and you know, and they're struggling giving up, you know, this, how do you get them to break into the idea? Like, listen, this stuff works.
Yeah. Well,
I know you do a lot of coaching, and I'm like, I'm trying to reach out to my audience. Like, what are, where you say to people, listen, stop doing this. If you're doing this, this is where, you know, you have a problem and you need help.
Well, this line stops a lot of parents dead in their tracks. And I just say, for every minute you spend doing this, you're stealing a minute from your kids. And it could be from, you know, reading email newsletters from some stranger you're never going to buy a product from, but you're just, you know, procrastinating on, or, you know, you're doing something that should be delegated to somebody else. And because you don't delegate, you're 15 minutes late for dinner. Every minute that you spend doing something you shouldn't be doing, you're stealing from your kids. And when they go, oh, and then what we do is we simply put a plan in place. You know, Dan Sullivan has a great question, you know, who, not how, who can do the thing. Don't seek out how you can do it. Instead, who can do it? If you get something from IKEA, don't read the instructions, go to TaskRabbit and find somebody who can put it together for you. Who, not how. And so we just, you know, sit down with the entrepreneur. You know, I'm working with a real estate investor guy right now, and he has a lot of people in his business, and his business is growing super fast. Like, you know, real estate's been such a crazy world for you guys in the last year. And it's just, you know, job description, job scorecard. These are all the places we can find the person. Here's your deadline for getting these actions done so that we can get the outcome of getting a good person in place and then train them up and get them onboarded properly so that you can remove yourself from another piece of the business and just moves you up a level on the activities that you're doing. That's what we all need to do. Whether we're you know, a one person shop with a VA that lives halfway around the world, we still have to do that every single day. I tell people, Sean, to keep a little notebook or a whiteboard beside them. And whenever they find themselves doing a task, the whiteboard or the notebook should have three columns, A, D, E, automate, delegate, eliminate. Is the task that you're doing right now, can it be automated? You know, is there a software or some type of service out there that can be automate the thing you're doing? Second, delegate. Is this not your job? Should somebody else be doing it? And then eliminate. There's a lot of things that we do on a daily basis that nobody should be doing. This is not a thing you need to delegate. It is a thing that you need to eliminate, and your business will not suffer from it. In fact, it will get better because now you use that time for something else. So automate, delegate, eliminate, always be thinking that.
And think about this audience. This is one thing, I don't care how wealthy you are. We got 168 hours, but my son's 20 and he told me last week, he goes, Dad, I just hired a personal assistant. He knows my DNA because I joke about the bowel movement thing. I that's my ongoing. I would delegate. I start my day with my week with, okay, this is my list. And I try to play like, get rid of it. Like, get rid of this, get rid of this. I only want to be, and people don't think like that. Now I've learned that from your book. So I only want to be holding a few things in my basket for the week. Like the idea that 20, you know, I don't have a day where I have more than five tasks on my list that have to be done. I start my day, you know, my assistant, Crystal, take care of this, take care of this. Then I go through my partners. Hey, take this, take this, take that. If I don't need to be in the meeting, I don't just show up. I have no desire to be a guest.
Right.
If I'm not the headliner, I'm not there.
And only people who are relevant to the meeting should be there. It's a great point. And the one thing that the image that I would tell people to take away is be the chess master, not the chess pieces. Be the chess master, not the chess pieces. Like your day, should just be you sitting there and thinking and solving problems in a lot of the places, not putting up the fires, but being very strategic about what you're doing and where your business is going and how you're elevating your team members so that they can perform at the highest level and do all the work in the business.
Well, tell us about Unstoppable.
Yeah, so Unstoppable.
You had the perfect day and then you have to write. I mean, you had the perfect day and then you wrote the perfect week, or vice versa. I forgot what order they
were. It was perfect. It was perfect day. And then after I wrote perfect day, I realized that I wrote the wrong book, because there's 7 days in a week and they're not all the same. So after 150 questions on Amazon and our book reviews and speaking at a whole bunch of events and having people come up to the microphone and say, well, you know, I got 1.7 kids and 3.1 dogs. What about me? You know, it's everybody's got their own different situation, that we put together the perfect week formula. But in between that, we put together Unstoppable, which is kind of like a book version of spending a day with me in one of my workshops, where we start 30,000 foot level. We start with vision, values and vision, because your values and vision drive every decision in your life and in your business. That's what we believe. And then we just break it on down. Okay, so here's where you want to be in 3 years. Then that means here's where you want to be in 1 year. And then if you want to be there in 1 year, here's where you need to be in 90 days. And then we get very granular in the building of the plan to get you there. And then in addition to that, there's physical and mental tools for overcoming the anxiety that comes with being an entrepreneur. So that's what that book is about. And it really is a great starter place for the entrepreneur.
Hey, listen, audience, I'm telling you this, you want to be successful. The one thing that's successful, we do a few things I like to think, but we are so stingy with our time. We guard it. I guard my time like oxygen. And I joke about I got five friends that since I was 18, I will do anything with them within 24 hours if they ever reach out to me. But good luck breaking into that. You know, you got the few that they have access to me. You know what I mean? But I don't just give my time away. I'm more stingy with my time, way more stingy with my time than money. For whatever, I've always said, you know, if I use this phrase, if you have the gift of giving, God will give you the gift of getting. Can't explain it. Every time I give away more money, my bank account grows. It's the darndest thing. Cannot explain it, but it actually works. Now, time, you can't. That you cannot just give away to everybody.
No, it's so important. And so you got to know who you're going to give it to first, and then realize that, you know, I love the imagery of the bank account. Everybody starts with, you know, 75 years or 100 years or whatever you want to look at it. And then these wall charts that they have now, I don't know if you've ever seen these wall charts that you kind of like say, well, I'm going to live to 90. And then they give you the note, all the weeks, and then they cross them out and you go, oh man, like I'm 46 right now. And if I was going to live to be 90, I've lived half my life. And I mean, that's got to invoke urgency in
you.
Then
I should be scared to death right now.
Well, with the advances in modern medicine, Sean, you will live a few years longer than you believe. We really do need to get serious about our time.
Yeah. And then we're going to slip over to, because I know you like fitness. It's funny because I was doing a little bit of homework on this, you know, getting ready. And you did like a Kindle book, I think it was. But I've always said this, cardio is the most, this is like our totally random subject, but I know you wrote about it. And just, it's funny because I know you're a fitness guy. I know your relationship with Bedros. So of course you're in the fitness, but I love, like, cardio is the most overrated part of working out. Like I tell people this, people tell me do cardio. I go, do one set of squats, look at your heart rate. Like if I do a set of squats, my heart rate's going to get to about 160, 165. Now, if you take 220, deduct my age, it means I need to go into a coffin, but it takes, and then, you know, you try to get in that, you know, where you're, what is it, 60% minus rate. But it takes me almost 5 minutes for my heart rate to get back down to, you know, where I can run it again and burn it. And just, I mean, I'm fit. I joke, I'm cut up like a bag of crack, wrestled in college. I mean, I take fitness serious, but I don't jog anywhere. Listen to me, I'd maybe jog to take a pee at 4 a.m, you know, but other than that, I don't, you know, in fitness, and this is so random because I know you like working out, but I read that like before we got on today, and I'm like, I've been saying that for years. Like I don't jog anywhere.
Yeah, the way that I look at it is this, you know, for two sides of things, you know, for the weight loss and looking good, you absolutely don't need to do cardio. I started writing for Men's Health magazine in 2000, and that was, you know, the message I was trying to get out then. It's much more popular now than it was way back then. And then on the flip side, if you look at longevity and you read about, you know, people that live in blue zones, and, you know, these are the people that live the longest lifespans. Well, you go to any of those blue zones, whether you go to Sardinia or whether you go to that place in Greece, you know, these Okinawa, like, they're not standing around on elliptical machines all day. These people have so many other healthy habits that really determine the length of your lifespan. So being strong and then following so many of the healthy habits, like, yeah, sure, you should move around every single day, but it doesn't have to be on a machine. And it doesn't have to be pounding the pavement, going for a jog. That's just going to ruin your ankles and your hips and your back. And you're breathing in all the pollution from the roads. There's a whole lot of ways to extend your lifespan. And really being strong is far more functional than being able to, you know, jog a 15-minute mile or something like that. So like, let's, you know, I've always been, Sean, focused on efficiency. You know, the first business I had was about in the workout world, and it was helping people take their 90-minute workouts and get them down to like 20 or 30 minutes. Spent years doing that, you know, 15 years selling workout videos and all that sort of stuff. And then, funny, you know, just want to do the same thing for their days.
It's funny that you say that. And again, seriously, audience, trust me, cut up like a bag of crack. Seriously. No doubt. Okay. No doubt. It's the real deal. But I don't, like you just said it, my workouts are 20 to 25 minutes.
And diet is far more important than exercise for weight. And I actually made a bunch of YouTube videos that you can find where it's me on a treadmill running and my friend sitting there and eating a piece of pizza. And then he has a Starbucks Frappuccino. We made a series of these videos and he consumes about 1200 to 1500 calories in 4 to 5 minutes. That's more than half of what most people should eat in a day. And during those 4 to 5 minutes, I run as fast as I can on a treadmill and burn 45 calories. Like, you cannot out-exercise a bad diet. And all those people that go into the gym on Black Friday after having a huge meal on Thanksgiving, like, you would have to run a marathon to burn off half of your meal. So you just cannot do that, because when you exercise that much, you break down your body. So I avoid that type of exercise. I look at building up my body through strength training. And then, you know, nutrition.
Now, I love it. It's funny when we're on fitness, and this is okay, audience. I got two 40-pound kettlebells in my garage, and I walk down my driveway and up, and my heart rate's going to explode. I put the kettlebells down. I walk back down and back up, grab them again, and I do that for 20 minutes. I do that. That's one of, I have a lot of different weird workouts.
I mean, that's a good one.
But it's 20 minutes. I set my thing. It's 10 minutes on my watch, and then I'll reset it. 20 minutes. I'm done. I am soaked in sweat, heart rates, you know, getting it, you know, 160, you know, and I'm like, it's, and I'm saying this to entrepreneurs, you're probably going, entrepreneurs are going, why? I'm telling you this, when you feel good, you perform at such a higher level. And when you look physically disciplined, like when I interview somebody, I just had an interview today, I know I'm confident. Mm-hmm. You know, when you walk in, my gut's not hanging over the thing. I reach out to shake your hand, you know, and you kind of look at it, oh, that's pretty disciplined. You know, it clearly looks disciplined. Sure. It makes a difference. Don't kid yourself. If you're
absolutely,
and you have no energy when you're eating bad and you're not exercising, I see so many entrepreneurs and they're failing to perform. And I look at their bodies and I'm like, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. And again, back to the over-exercising. The over-exercising can be a real detriment because, you know, that person who runs too much or cycles too much or does anything too much, you are breaking your body down. And so that sweet spot of short burst workouts a few times per week, plus that nutrition, plus the rest and the recovery and keeping your stress low, whether you do meditation or whatever it is, man, that really is the formula for a good life.
Now it is. It's funny you bring up meditation. I got a random subject over here for the next 2 minutes. I never quite understood meditation because I would meditate and then I'd be thinking about 100 other things. And then I actually started, apps are incredible. Okay. Apps are incredible. So I get an app on meditating and I basically find out the only thing I'm supposed to be doing during meditation, which never made sense to me, but I love it now. I'm going to tell you, I love it, is I'm supposed to think about nothing. And the problem is I think about something all the time. So I never valued like whiteboarding. That's what I talk about. I clean the board. When I meditate, I wipe the board. I'm thinking about nothing, just my breathing and all that. I started doing it. I got to tell people this. I had so much upper back pain from stress. I'm just telling you, listen to me, for the last 10 years, I started meditating and then I do a 12-minute yoga thing in the morning and my back pain went away.
That's fantastic.
And it was meditating. And I just, what I do when I get home about 5 o'clock between 5 and 6, I take out a note card and I do a brain dump. Like, okay, this is all the things that I need to worry about in the next week and I don't want to forget. I just write on that card. I don't write when I'm going to do it. I just unload it. That's it. And I turn that card over. And then I go to my meditation and 5 minutes meditating, I clean my brain up. And that 10 minutes just kind of whiteboards the whole day. It's like, I'm not worrying about these to-do list items because I'm home. It's done. I put that away. I take that list and I put it to where I can't even see it till the next morning.
Beautiful.
And then the meditation, which I always thought meditation was goo goo gaga. Well, guess what? It's legit. If you're a high idea guy, big energy like me, I'm always thinking about something, but that's not great.
Right.
Because then I don't sleep well.
That brain dump combined with the slowing down there, you're doing that 4 or 5 hours before you go to bed. It's a game changer. I mean, I was like you when I was younger, it was like my mind would race. And then I switched to doing that stuff. And now it's just like, all right, I'm out.
I love it. I sleep better at night. See what you get in the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast. All right, this is what you got. You got the perfect day, the perfect week, unstoppable, some fitness advice, a little bit of meditation. You can't beat it. My guest is Craig Ballantyne. Craig, I'm so grateful that you became a guest on the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast. How can my audience connect with you, use your services? I mean, this guy can really help if you're trying to perform at a different level. I mean, he's at the top of the game, people.
Absolutely. I'd love to hear from everyone. So you can find me on Instagram, like Sean did, at Real Craig Ballantyne, or you can email me. I don't get a lot of email, but I like hearing from people on email. And my email is craig@godfather.com.
Can't forget that.
Yeah.
Can't forget that. Again, this is Sean Castrini with the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast. The podcast is brought to you by GetStartedMarketing.com. You need help with your marketing, you need more sales, you need more leads. The only way to stay in business is to sell, sell, sell. And if you can't attract people, you won't. Again, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We will talk again soon.